From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Almost 1 million customers in California are without power, as you've been hearing all morning. That's nearly 750,000 from PG&E in the northern area, 200,000 from Southern California Edison. PG&E says it might expand the outage area at noon, and all of this because of the incoming north winds and the high wildfire danger. My colleague Ben Adler spoke with the California Office of Emergency Services this morning, and the report is that up to 2 million people across the state will be impacted by, quote, the public safety power shutoff. So again, we suggest that you stay with Cap Radio, and you can find maps of the outage areas and more information that's up to date at capradio.org. Now to a story that also, like the power outage story, is echoing across the country, and that is the passing of Dr. William Lee, the founder and publisher of the Sacramento Observer. Dr. Lee died on September 22nd. He was 83 years old. His son, Larry Lee, has joined me in the studio to talk about his father. Hi, Larry. Glad to have you back.
Good morning, Beth. Thank you for having me.
And of course, we extend our condolences on your loss.
Absolutely.
And this
Thank
has been
you.
Such a big community event. I'd like to read the first two sentences from The Observer, from the website. And this is the obituary for your father. He was tireless in the fight for access and respect for Black journalists, and relentless in championing for Blacks to have a seat at the proverbial table. Sacramento Observer Publisher Emeritus Dr. William H. Lee went to his glory, having passed away on Sunday, September 22nd. There's so much in those few sentences about the chorus that is around the life and legacy of your dad.
Sure.
How's it been to hear all that, to continually hear all that since September 22nd?
Well, again, thank you for having me. It's been absolutely overwhelming and beautiful, to say the least. You know, my parents and I will keep them together, my mom and dad, they did work tirelessly for this community in a lot of different ways, in a lot of ways, sometimes seen, sometimes unseen. But I think... In closing this chapter of their legacy and my dad's pass with my dad's passing, it's been wonderful to kind of reflect on his impact, not only through the pages of the paper. I said also, you know, his impact expanded way past the distribution of the paper, way past the walls of the office. It was more than just, he was more than just a publisher. In many ways, he was, you know, kind of the conscience of the community. And I've kind of heard that from other people. You know, Mayor Steinberg was at the memorial the other day, and he talked about getting a call from Bill Lee, and he said, you know, you'd get that call and immediately thought of, what did he do wrong? He's like, I do not want to disappoint Bill Lee. And that's beautiful to hear.
You were the youngest of three sons.
Correct.
You must have had some of that in you, too. I don't want to disappoint mom or dad.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was, you know, I was the youngest. My parents were almost 40 years old when they had me. My oldest brother was 17 years older than I am. And he passed away about 25 years ago or so. And so there was definitely that impact. By the time I was here, the joke is he was always he was already Dr. Lee at that point for me. So there was never, even though I always called him dad at home and everything, but in public and everything, it was always, you know, kind of that reverence for him and my mom, of course, as well, too. But definitely for him, having been such a tremendous leader, he kind of attributed my birth. I was born in 73. You mentioned the year that we won, kind of the first year when we became the nation's best Black newspaper. And he said that that was my gift to the paper, was that we got named the nation's best Black newspaper. And ever since then, we've been on a great run.
Mm-hmm. When Ronald Reagan was governor of California, mm-hmm. he would visit Oak Park and visit your family. I guess the Reagan kids and all of you went to the same elementary school?
With my middle brother, yeah.
So this wasn't unusual for the governor to call Billy and ask his advice on issues. And the governor understood that your family knew the pulse of the African-American community. So that's the atmosphere that you grew up in.
Yeah.
And how did that play for your parents with you kids in in teaching what the expectation was going to be of your entire family, including you, in the community?
I think the thing that was really driven home to us was that you could expect, if you did really good work and it came from a good place, you could expect great things. My parents never had anything but excellence in their work. And so while it sounds funny to say, yes, okay, governor, you know, being among governors or heads of states and those kinds of things were somewhat commonplace. I mean, it wasn't every day, but it was somewhat commonplace. You know, my dad, in the same breath, would very much say, hey, you know, I'm a kid who came from Del Paso Heights and went to Grant High School. My mom, you know, her family was in Oak Park. And so it was like they were very much rooted into the community. And so it wasn't necessarily about, you know, lifting the Lees up, but it was kind of how do we push the agenda for the African-American community in Sacramento from these areas and these communities that we are from? And how do we move it in a way that is really benefiting not just our community, but the Sacramento community at great lengths. And my dad was very insightful in really trying to make sure that when he got into a room, into a room where he was at that time the only African-American in the room, and said, and let's say he had someone like Governor Reagan at the table with him, it was not about Bill Lee moving forward. It was about, Governor, we need more Black judges. We need more Black appointees. We need more Black staffers in the Capitol. And so they would go, when they would meet with them, it was more of, I've got three people that I'm going to make sure that when we leave here, the governor knows to call them to get them into positions. Three African-Americans who did not have an opportunity before. Or my mom would do the same thing with particularly for female staffers at the state capitol. They were selfless and just very much really about really just trying to help other people. And I think that's the message. That was something I lived with, but that's also the message I hear from others, particularly during this season of his passing.
Larry, are you okay if we play a clip of your dad's voice?
I think I'll be all right.
I
hear it all the time in my head, so.
You too.
So probably hearing it out loud might be fine.
Let me pick up on that for a moment.
Sure.
Because losing a parent is one of the most significant events in a person's life.
Sure.
And immediately after it happens, your mind does stick on certain stories or certain tapes. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing him say? What is your experience with him right now?
It's varied. It's a lot of different things. All right, Beth, you're messing with me here, but no, it's okay. But, I spent a lot of time around my parents.
Yeah.
My mom was bedridden for about 10 years, before her passing. And, my dad, you know, the last couple of years were pretty tough for him.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time with him. And I'm sorry, but I'm just very grateful. I think more than anything, I'm very grateful because I don't regret a minute. I don't have a second where I'm not thankful for the wisdom that they shared with me. They poured a lot into me.
Let's listen then. And I am going to let our production team know that I'd like to go to the section where your dad talked about changing the rules. And this is kind of a long piece from the KVIE Studio Sacramento show in 2013. Your family was marking the 50th anniversary of the publication of the paper, and you and your dad were talking with the host, Scott Syphax. And Scott had asked your dad about the culture of the early 60s when the paper was new. So let's listen to about 2 minutes here of Dr. William Lee.
We really had very few African-Americans in key positions, in any positions and so forth. There were no black judges, as an example, no blacks on television, no blacks, if you will, on our city council or in our board of supervisors, very few in the Capitol. In fact, we were looking at it the other day, and we felt in, when we formed the Observer in 62, that there actually was only three African-American staffers working in the state capitol.
You're kidding.
Can you imagine that?
Wow. And,
you know, so from that very first beginning, we were able to serve really kind of as a catalyst for many of these job opportunities, for many of the announcements that were occurring, for many of actually the appointments that were being made. And we were consulted frequently by those who are in positions to make some of those appointments.
Incidentally, in being a catalyst and breaking down doors, you didn't just do that in the African-American community. There's a story that I recently heard about how publications like Time and Newsweek couldn't participate in the coverage of the Capitol, and the Observer broke down the door that allowed them to be able to be a part of the Bureau. Tell us that story.
We could not be credentialed, if you will, because we were not essentially, we met the Rules Committee requirement at that time, is that you had to be a daily newspaper, as an example, in order to have a credential. So you couldn't get up and cover. So magazines like Time Magazine, who was not obviously a daily publication, nor were the Observer, could not be credentialed. So we, in a sense, we challenged that credentialing rule and was able to change the Rules Committee requirements at the time. And we were able then to open up the doors for many of the publications who were weeklies and other publications as well.
So he was pretty much all business. Or he was a lot of business. I know at home his big warm personality was there, but but he really took on the mantle of change. What's interesting to me is that in that same conversation he talked about the founding of this newspaper being at the kitchen table.
Yeah.
And it was he and your mom and Gino Gladden.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. John Cole, who Gino Gladden passed away shortly after they started the paper. But John Cole, at 101 years old, is still around and looking sharp and dapper as always.
Wow.
He was at the funeral the other day, and it was he stood up and everyone gave him a great big applause as well, too. Yeah, so that was great.
I think your mom, ironically, passed in the year of the 50th anniversary
of the paper. Yeah.
So your dad was talking about the impact of the paper, and we have a short little clip about that. So here again is the late Dr. Bill Lee.
We had no idea. The key there is that we wanted to serve, though, Scott. That was our main intent.
Mm-hmm.
There was very little information. We feel now there was no marketplace of where a person could go and find out events in the African-American community. And so our intent was really to provide that kind of information, information from events that were occurring, information about groups that might be forming, some of the deaths and births, if you will, of our community and that type of thing.
I really respect that he was talking about public service in the beginning.
Sure.
And that the paper then, would you say something about the role that it started to have and the role that it still has now 56 years later?
Yeah, I think it's evolved and changed. The one thing that I definitely would say is that, and I'll say this in the most journalistic way I can say it, there really will never be another Bill Lee. And by that, I mean the timing of the civil rights era, the starting of the paper, the growth of Sacramento, his and my mom's connection as a unit, their dedication to service in the community. Like, that's a special kind of cocktail mix that just probably will never happen again. And the era of newspapers being what they were as well, too, during that era as well. So all of that is a spectacular mix that I think really helped really put his and their legacy into context. But moving forward and building on the foundation that we've had is tremendous. I think we have been able over the years, and we've been very fortunate, and my dad would say this too, very fortunate to be in Sacramento. There's other places where you could have other larger Black populations and been more successful as a newspaper publisher when you're trying to, you know, build a business. But he was happy to grow with Sacramento, for sure. And then when you look at the mix of his and my mom's legacy, and then the fact that I came back, and it's hard to believe, but I've literally have been back for 22 years working with them, and the fact that, you know, my, and for lack of a better word, my patience and understanding of kind of knowing when and where that place and that my time will come, and it doesn't, I don't have to rush them out or anything like that, and being patient with that, I think we're very fortunate as a business and as a newspaper and as a news media outlet that our roots are really connected to this community. So moving forward, you know, we're in the midst of remodeling a new facility where we relocated to the Del Paso Boulevard in North Sac, building what we feel is going to be a 21st century newsroom that will prepare us for another generation. Understanding that newspaper and our print product is still extremely valuable, but also knowing that, you know, as the technology changes, we have to change with it. And that's something that if my dad was by himself, may not have been able to embrace and move forward with as our newspaper moves forward. So I feel like our voice and our role is still going to be valuable. And I have a really, what I feel is a big vision for our paper as well, too. It might be a little bit different than, you know, my dad would have done at this age, but I also am dealing with a different sort of, environment for news and information. So I'm excited about where we're headed, for sure. And I couldn't have any of it set up without their work.
You're listening to Larry Lee. He assumed the active leadership of the Sacramento Observer in 2015. We are talking about, and you have been hearing the voice of the late Dr. William Lee, co-founder and a few years later, publisher of the Observer, which is now 56 years old. Dr. Lee died on September 22nd. He was a Pulitzer Prize judge in 1987. Yeah. What a remarkable credential to have in life experiences. What else was really important to him that he was able to do?
Well, there's too many. I don't, how long of a show do you have? No, there were really so many. I think two of the ones that stand out. One was being the chair of the Martin Luther King Holiday Commission for the state of California, being selected by a Republican governor and George Duke Majan to chair the effort to get California to have a Martin Luther King holiday before there was even a national holiday. For my dad, was a tremendous honor. He had a great regard and respect for Dr. King. And was very thankful to have led that effort. And then in his later years, getting a school named after him. Mm-hmm. There's William Lee College Prep, which is a public charter school run by the Fortune School of Education. And he was the first African-American or first person of that system to be named after living African-American leaders, of which there's several here in the region. And the actual physical building is actually the school where my mom went to elementary school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was really a great testament. He was so proud of that school, of the Fortune family leadership with that and the kids that that go there as well, too.
I heard him say education is most important in so many interviews, so many conversations. He just really put that first. But I want to go back to that KVIE episode of Studio Sacramento. Scott Syfax asked him what he was looking forward to, what he thought about life and what was coming and our role in it. So here's another short clip of the late Dr. William Lee.
I really feel that sometimes we're missing in the courage to move forward on many of the challenges. When we face a barrier, we run away from it instead of being challenged by it. And really, I think those who don't understand really the community, we invite those to really to reach out to those sectors they don't understand. I think those limitations really will only hurt them in the long run, those who don't understand the diversity that's happening in our community. It's a warm community. As I said, it's a rainbow of different colors in our community, and it's an outstanding community, and it's been very helpful to us.
He was almost prophetic, wasn't he, in 2013, in looking at what would be important, especially in the recent years?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did he give you advice?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Where do you want to pinpoint it? To running the paper, in life, in being a good person? What comes to mind when I ask you that?
Well, in the business side of things, gosh, I got so many. I'm actually compiling a little list of little what I quote unquote Dr. Lee statements. He would say stuff like, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So on the business sides of things, he gave me really probably too many to name.
You need to publish that list.
Oh, I know. That's well, actually, we are doing a special edition on his commemorating his life. We'll publish it later this month. And it's going to be filled with, lots of different things. That is going to be one of the things that we'll publish in that as well, too, because I started to put together a list of about 10 or 12 of them that were like, oh, gosh, I heard the dad say this 1,000 times. I think, he was a very spiritual man. He was the son of a Baptist preacher here in Sacramento. And and as I said at the funeral the other day, that legacy that my dad had really was built on the legacy that my grandparents had and really kind of feeding into the community of Del Paso Heights. And so I think that, as I move forward, obviously keeping scripture close and near to me is important. He always would say, none of this stuff is permanent. It's all, because of the good Lord. He's given things to us in order to be good stewards. I think that's probably one of the biggest words that he always said, be a good steward for whatever you get.
Thank you so much for your willingness to talk about your dad at this point in time, in the newness of this time, and for sharing some of truly the beauty of his life with us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me so much. I really appreciate it.
That is Larry Lee, the publisher now of the Sacramento Observer. His parents, Dr. William and Catherine Lee, co-founded the paper in 1962. Dr. Lee died in September at the age of 83. You can find more, including links to the paper and a link to the KVIE episode with them, at capradio.org/insight. I'll add a PS to this, that tomorrow Cap Radio launches a new in-depth podcast titled Making Meadowview, and you'll hear many voices and many stories in the history of Sacramento neighborhoods as well. You'll hear more about that in tomorrow's show. One more reminder, there is ongoing coverage of the power outages, the wind, and the wildfire potential. It's all on our website as well. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.